plate a potential nugget.
If I talk about my journey, 2008, my father was diagnosed with late stage cancer when I was in the US. And in a way, those 6 months dealing with his terminal cancer, in his case, he passed away in a few months, really changed a lot of things for me. Mm-hmm. Can you take us back to that moment when you got that diagnosis of stage four cancer and maybe walk us through that passage of play and how that changed things for you?
Yeah. You know, what's so interesting is there's probably really pretty ways to say this, but the way it felt to me was death as an idea stopped being an idea and started being something that would affect me. And that was profound. I almost can't say how profound it was, because it went from being like a concept that was only going to happen to other people to something that might affect me in the next 3 to 5 months. And boy, that really changed the nature of the conversation in my brain. And I could say in a good way, I never recovered from that, and I never want to. You know, it's almost like it became much more critical to align like what made me happy and what made me joyful and what felt purposeful. That became much more important to align that now. For example, one tiny example, this would be, I always knew I wanted to live outside the US, but nobody in my family even had passports. You know, we were just like lower middle class, you know, nobody even thought about leaving the country. And I knew I wanted to, but I just never did. And so pretty much, if you take it forward 6 months, as soon as the doctor said all clear, I started trying to move to England. So it just kind of precipitated more purposeful living, I would say.
Got it. And if I may take you back, actually, Dan, you know, one of the earlier guests of the podcast was a gentleman called Bruce Feiler, mm-hmm. who studied transitions across thousands of people. And he uses the term life quakes, right, to talk about how people, you know, encounter these situations and how we sort of use that as an opportunity to make meaning. Mm-hmm. Having, with the wisdom of hindsight, you know, if you go back to your days of making meaning out of being diagnosed with stage four cancer and recovering from it, what's the advice you would give for people who deal with these life quakes, mm-hmm. having lived through a similar experience? What's something that you sort of have learned with the benefit of hindsight?
Right. Well, the first thing I would say, which is the most honest thing, is I think these topics are so idiosyncratic that anything that I would say would probably be taken with a grain of salt, because I just think that it can really come off as, disingenuous in a way, to think that one person could give somebody else advice on this stuff. Here's another way of saying it. I, in my own life, have realized some post-traumatic growth, meaning I was fortunate enough through lots of different reasons that when I came out of this thing, not dead, I was able to convert that suffering and that deep existential angst. Somehow I was able to convert that into a more meaningful existence with much greater joy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure you've heard this story 100 times, but, you know, maybe what we haven't heard is the 1,000 times when people aren't able to do that, you know, where, for example, they end up suffering in a way physically where they just weren't able to rebound, and that's always gotten them down from then on. Or maybe it took away their faith in a religion, you know, that it took away their faith that a God would do this to them, you know. I would never want to act like, oh yeah, just do these 3 steps. But that said, you know, I think that what I can say is in my own sort of journey through it is, it just opened up the idea for me that it's not a dress rehearsal. It's going to death, that is going to happen pretty soon. You know, certainly I'm more than halfway done. I'm probably 3/4 of the way done. And it just sort of emphasizes that you don't have forever to ignore death. And in the book, I actually call that transience aversion. It's the idea that we, as a society, I think, and I will say in the U.S. society more than others, I believe, we're really afraid of talking about death. We're really afraid of bringing death to the forefront. We kind of like act like it's a dirty topic, like defecating, or like, you know, it's one of those things that everybody has to do, but we don't say much about it because it makes us like the other animals. And we like to think we're a very special animal, I think. And I think that that is a bit of a curse. And for me, I'll just say for me, getting rid of that transience aversion and just acknowledging that I won't be here much longer was so liberating, and it was so energizing. And for me, that was quite a discovery. You know, that was not something I was expecting.
While Dan speaks about seeing death from close quarters, in my case, I saw it when my father grappled with stage 4 cancer around 2008-2009. It gave me a sense of what the end game of life looked like, and in a way, it got me started on the inner journey, which I would say was reasonably non-existent till that point in time. It helped me uncover what gave me energy, the people side of things, which took me from McKinsey to Egon Zehnder, and subsequently to the work I do now. I don't think this would have been possible without this event. One of my earlier guests, Bruce Feiler, author of the book Life is in the Transitions, speaks about this and says that you have to be careful that you don't start making sense of things too soon. He quite succinctly says, you need to make sense from scars, not wounds.
Right? Life is the story that you tell yourself. And what we're talking about fundamentally with life quakes or life transitions or crises or upheavals or, you know, whatever names have been given to this over the centuries, it is fundamentally a breach in that story. And so one way to think about this is that a kind of a life quake is a disruptive event, and that the life story is the healing event. Like, that's the way that you make sense and make peace with the disruptive event. It is, in effect, an autobiographical occasion. And so the point about, stories are told from scars, not wounds, is when it's, when that life upheaval is at its rawest, in effect, when it's still an open wound, you can't fully tell the story yet because you haven't gotten through it. That somehow the act of getting through it and piecing it together and determining what it means and sort of deciding a new direction of where you're going, that's the process that turns the wound into a scar that finally allows you to tell the story. It's why in the 7 tools that I have in the book, Life is in the Transitions, the last one is to unveil the new story, because it's at the end of the process that you can finally piece together the various experiences and actually, in effect, add a new chapter to the story of your life that accommodates the loss of the loved one, the loss of income, the loss of job, the loss of legs, the lack of beliefs that you used to have, the new political position that you've taken, the new relationships that you have formed. That's the way to think about this, is that a life quake is an autobiographical occasion when we have to kind of retell, and then reshare the story of who we are.
I guess, in a way, COVID has brought the notion of death up close to all of us. It's not that improbable or remote anymore. All of us possibly have encountered or know somebody who's been on the edge. I guess it's a great opportunity for us to live a life with intention and make structural choices as we move forward. One of my other guests, Tenzin Priyadarshi, said quite succinctly that COVID is like a cosmic timeout given by Mother Nature to all of us to stay in our respective spaces and get our act together. Not learning from this would be a criminal waste of an opportunity. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.